Again, lend a little more time. Mm-hmm. As Sister Terrell has indicated, this is only segment one. Mm-hmm. We will air another segment, segment two, next month, where we will have a female come and tell us what her points of view are in regards to the Bring Our Girls Back campaign. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. And again, we look forward to seeing you at our meeting on Tuesday. And we look forward to seeing you again or having you listening to our show next month. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
In My Life, a musical theater tribute to the Beatles, is the nationally touring musical biography of the Beatles through the eyes of manager Brian Epstein, featuring the live music of renowned tribute band Abbey Road. The smash hit production performs at Newmark Theater on Friday, June 6th at 7:30 p.m. inside of the Antoinette Hatfield Hall at 1111 Southwest Broadway, Portland, Oregon. More than just a Beatles tribute concert, In My Life gives the audience a chance to be there at pivotal events in the extraordinary career of the Beatles. More information on this KBOO-sponsored event may be found on kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events. KBOO is proud to co-sponsor the Triangle Productions presentation of OMG, It's the Donnie Show. For 3 weeks only, Donnie Horn will host a new variety show in the style of Laugh-In and The Ed Sullivan Show. OMG, It's the Donnie Show premieres on June 13th, with shows on Fridays and Saturdays only. They start at 7:30 p.m. at The Sanctuary, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information about this event may be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel?
Good evening. This is Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland. I'm Karen James. Tonight, my guest is Dakota Kennedy. She's a volunteer with the Oregon Youth Authority. Dakota coordinated the Verbal Escape Poetry Project at the McLaren Youth Correctional Facility, and we'll hear some of that poetry tonight. Hi, Dakota. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Karen.
Tell us about your work.
Yes. So I started volunteering at McLaren at the end of last summer. I talked to a professor from Portland State who knew about a couple of guys who were at McLaren who wanted to start a poetry slam group. So I started meeting with them in August, and we started brainstorming immediately as to how to bring poetry and slam to McLaren to organize not only a curriculum, but a campus, an on-campus poetry slam competition that would include the guys and hopefully other guys from different facilities as well.
So you just started volunteering in August 2013, and here you are already coordinating a project.
Yes, yeah. We got it off the ground in about like 6 to 9 months, and I still can't believe we managed to pull it off.
And this event happened in April?
It did, yeah. So even though we started meeting in August, our class actually started in January. And then April, in honor of National Poetry Month, was when we had our event.
So we're going to hear some of the poetry from the Verbal Escape. So Dakota, set the stage a little bit. How did all this happen that day?
Sure. So the event was basically all day. It started with an open mic, which was open to everybody. So even though Portland Poetry Slam guests were there and Verbal Escape, our poetry group, was there, the open mic was an opportunity for anybody, incarcerated, not incarcerated, to get up and share their poetry with everybody. So the first person that you're about to hear is actually a student at McLaren. He's part of a writing group, but this was his first time performing poetry. He hadn't planned on participating, but after seeing a couple other people get up there and sort of set the stage, he felt like he actually wrote a poem on the spot and got up there and ended up performing twice during the open mic. Brand new poet.
I've been hearing all these lovely poems, so I wrote one just for the open mic. This is entitled Uncle. So, why did you have to be the one to die? The one who stepped up and took the place of my dad when you didn't have to. You were the one who taught me to be strong, the one who showed me how to be a man. I can remember the day that they came to get you, slapping the cuffs on you. That was the first time I really felt pain, the first time I felt lost, the first time I realized that you took the place of the man that walked out on us to chase drugs instead of being a father. So again, why did you have to die?
So that first one I read really made me feel good, so I wrote another one. The first day it happened, I cried. She left only to return days past, and she reverted back to using, bringing strangers into the house. Each stranger left with a smile on their face, but left tears streaming down hers. One day a man left with a smile, but left her bruised and bloody. That same day, I grew courage and stepped up. I said, you shouldn't be doing this. A slap to the face is all I received. I shied back into my hole, losing all courage. But the next day, she was gone. But when she came back, she was changed. She didn't go back for that. It was the last day it happened. Thank you for changing. I love you, Mom.
Hi, this is Marcus. I'm here with Mr. Noah, and he is here part of the
Verbal Escape Poetry Group.
All right, Mr. Noah, what can you tell us about this event that's going on today, and what is your part?
I'm actually competing. This is a spoken word poetry event, and it gives people the chance to get up and express their thoughts, anything they have on their chest, anything they want to get out there, share with the community. And my piece in this is to help organize as well as participate in the event. We're going to compete here in a little bit, three poems. There's going to be three rounds, and it's going to be a cumulative score of up to the highest score wins. But it's not even about that. It's just about getting out there and putting out a good message.
Okay, and Mr. Noah, I'm pretty sure you covered a lot of that. Thank you for your time.
No problem.
Peace. Hi, this is Marcus reporting live here at the McLaren Visiting Center. I'm here with Mr. Nathaniel. He's a viewer of today's show, and what can you tell us about today so far?
Thank you for having me. Today's been, you know, it's been really great, really awesome. A lot of talent out here. You know, it's kind of a mixture, you know, and it's a real nice turnout.
Thanks. Do you ever see yourself doing any of this, you know, poetry or participating in any events as far as helping out, you know, supportive?
Definitely, you know, I come from an African-American background, you know, a base, you know, and like kind of like the Harlem Renaissance, you know. Back then, poetry was a kind of way for African-Americans, you know, to vent, you know, and express themselves. So I think it's a great opportunity. Yeah.
Yep. Thank you for taking your time to answer a few of these questions.
Yes.
Moving on, I'm now here with Mr. Deep. You know what I'm saying? We're right here at the Visiting Center. Also, he's another viewer here. So I'd like to go ahead and ask him a few questions. Mr. Deschamps, now, how do you feel about this event?
Oh, man, I think it's a great thing, man. A lot of support out here. You know, the guys that got up there, man, and spit some of their poetry. It's a great thing, man.
All right. Do you see yourself doing any of this in the near future?
You know what? You know what I'm saying? I do a little bit of poetry, you know. So I may as well, you know what I'm saying, next time it comes along, I'm going to get up there, man, and spit a few things, you know what I'm saying? And just show my talent, man. You know what I'm saying? It's right now. It's you know, time for people to display their talent. You know what I'm saying? Get out there, you know, and be the board for everybody. You know what I'm saying? And open up the doors for them. You know.
Indeed. Thank you very much. I'm gonna go ahead and move on. I appreciate you taking your time.
Yeah, man. Keep it going, man. You know what I'm saying? This poetry thing is real nice, man. And you're doing a great job, man. Interviewing. Thanks.
Oh, you're very welcome.
So the next people that you are about to hear are actually poets from Portland Poetry Slam. So they're our feature presentation. We got three poets, Clementine Von Radix, Lena Rainierson, and as some of you might already know, Alex Dang, to come down and perform in front of the guys to help them see what professionals looked like and how they operated.
All right, I'm going to do a poem about my dad. My father sits me down to teach me how to play guitar. First off, he tells me, your fingers are going to blister. Your fingers are going to bleed. Let's start with the D chord. This is how you play down on the bayou. Vibration travels through the body. That is how sound is made here. This is how I pray. These are the notes that roughly translate to hallelujah. This is how you play I won't back down now. Don't back down. Every song has a rhythm you have to find like a pulse. The beauty of music is you are never done searching. Clementine, push harder with your fingers. You have to be stronger about this. Here, this is how I pray. This is how I tell my story, how I take revenge, ask the woman I love to dance with me. This is how I built our family. This is how I built our home here. This is the heartbeat of the song you were named for. Have I ever told you why your name is Clementine? First time I held you, all I could think was, oh my darling, oh my darling, oh my darling, it is time you learn everything worth loving takes hard work and patience. I know you. You are the good half of me. People like us are not good with words. What we mean gets muddled and wrong. Somewhere between our minds and our mouths, we make art to say what we feel. Here, these are the chords to make you feel my love. All right, this is a sadder family poem, but all the same. The first time you washed up at our door, after a night of outswimming your own ghosts, I was 7 years old. You smelled like something sour, and the jagged, bleeding zipper of your mouth made you look like a Halloween mask, and you healed beautifully. Swore you were dry, lasted 32 days before washing up on our porch again, sobriety chips jangling in your pocket. Each year that has passed has brought a new set of scars until you don't even look like a man anymore. More like a warning sign. A car wrapped around a telephone pole, an animal limping along the edge of the highway, the lighthouse, its huge single eye warning of storms, screaming, turn around, go. There is no harbor here. Tonight, you're in a hospital somewhere south of me. A machine is forcing the breath you have been trying to drown my whole life. I know I haven't visited. I know I haven't called. I don't know why this business of living is so much harder for you. This morning, I saw a bottle thrown out of a car. The glass shattered in a dangerous, glittering explosion, staining the grit and the crack of the sidewalk, a mosaic of beautiful, senseless destruction. All right, up next is Alex Dang.
Poetry has been like a thing where I like am able to express myself, talk about myself in like a more creative way, and also I just like, if I could, I would sit in a room with a mirror and just talk to myself all day. I love myself, so like all my poems are very like individual, they're very like from my point of view in my life, so like I talk about things that are going on in my life, and I'm in college right now, so this is kind of the inspiration for that one. This is called Selling Myself Short. I'm in college, realizing that the internet meme, Forever Alone, has two typos. There's a space between A and loan is spelled L-O-A-N. Understanding that I need money, I started my Google search. Blood bank in Eugene, plasma center in Eugene, sperm donation in Eugene. Did you know that a kidney goes for $262,000? I could live with one kidney. Skin is $10 per square inch. A gallbladder is $1,219. Who even knows what a gallbladder is for anyways? I do. It's to sell. Imagine I have so much to offer to the right buyer. I put in the paperwork, got the permits, reserved a space, and printed 1,000 flyers for an auction to buy me. I dressed in my nicest clothes, made the room a comfortable temperature, warmed up my body for the stage. You should have seen the brochures on what you could buy, glittering displays of everything I had on the market. Legs, feet, arms, scalp, hair, eyes, everything must go. $500 for my sense of direction for the freshman always getting lost to philosophy class. $1,200 for my punctuality gifted to the girl in the back who keeps missing the bus. $3,000 for my imagination to the gentleman with the accounting major. $7,500 for my style to the sophomore who wears running shoes everywhere. $450 for my writing skills to the engineer who just needs to get those English classes done. Nothing left except for cold, hard cash. But not even a day later did they all come back demanding to return each thing they got. The fine print too small, the contract too verbose. Everything bought was paired up with another thing. Excuse me, I said, but you can't buy my liver without my drinking problem. No, sir, you can't have my humor because you're gonna also have my constant need for validation. No, ma'am, you can't just have my rationality without my overanalyzing of every single situation. The mouth can sing songs and can tear you to pieces. Arms that hold on 1, 2, 12 times too long. Legs made for dancing but too often are used for running away. I spent the entire day stitching myself back together. I'm having a hard time remembering where all of my pieces go. My lungs rattle loose and they will drop in my stomach, which feels stiff and shudders, landslides when butterflies flutter against its walls. My brain fits too tight when I panic, sweating like leather wrapped it shut. This voice box awkwardly shuffle bounces when I speak. There is only one thing that is never adjusted. You threw away your receipt. You did not return my heart. You did not complain about the chips. You did not demand compensation for the cracks. You handed me yours, still beating, still warm. And it fits so well. Please give a warm welcome back to the stage, Lena Rynearson.
This next piece, I always feel like I need to preface it a little bit. Everybody, I'm sure, has been called like a really terrible name at some point in their life. That's like a constant. I keep coming across this one specific thing that gets yelled at me normally when dudes hit on me on the street, and then I tell them politely, no thank you, and then they kind of come back at me with this. So I wrote this poem, but I think everybody can kind of identify with having somebody call you something all of the time and label you a really terrible thing and then deciding that you don't care what that means. When the words tumble at you like a waterfall that you have seen the poster of before, tell them what the rocks at the bottom look like in intimate detail. Let your aggressors know you have peered into the gaping maw and ragged claws that make up their talus, and you have made friends with your monsters. You play poker on Friday nights with the crash of the plunge against the face of the pool. You fall asleep to a lullaby of water fighting water. Tell your wild-eyed foes their worst is your comfort, that they can take as much time as they'd like to slowly round out the consonant, vowel, consonant of fat bitch, because you ache for the tattooing, the living of those words on your knuckles. This is your brand, and you are a marketing genius. People you've never met before are already singing your jingle, so ring your bells and join in. The lyrics are, I am a fat bitch, and I don't really care who knows it, because I am done around, the thing people always forget is how when you are heavy, you will have to work twice as hard to get to the same places as someone who is half of you. And it will never feel like you are getting anywhere good until you realize you are always already standing in all the best parts of the river, working your way towards natural wonders. So guess what? Sometimes that bitch is a sign you're doing it right. That maybe once you were nice, but you're getting better now. Sometimes fat bitch just means you eat when you want to, and you speak when you want to, and that will never mean you deserve an inch less than anyone else. So let them leap at you. Let them rain on you. Let them get in a barrel with their insults and get ready to go over the edge, the part where their stomach keeps climbing, but the rest of them sinks. The first moment when they realize maybe I'm in over my head, or about to be. Let that be music to your ears. Let that be your very favorite.
I'm Jordan. I'm from Eugene. Like, a friend of a friend of a friend's dog walker's cousin called me up. So I just wrote this. I didn't know this was going to be a thing. Be good. If you can't be good, be careful. This advice comes tongue-in-cheek from a man in OSP with a glance to the CO, but is the comment meant for the cop himself or me? Probably all three, but I only have power over one. But I wonder. If you can't be good, be careful, but who cares if I'm not good, if I'm full of care for those to whom I'm supposed to be doing good for but failing? So I think, I'll be good, but if I can't be good, I'll be careful. But what does that mean, being good to you, when that means being careful with a watchful institution? I gotta be careful to be good. Now take that into your equation. I'm making amends to you, saying, because some fights mean you can't be good or careful, so I say care. Forget the full, because careful means it's an excuse not to put your heart into it.
Bruce Banner was not always the Hulk. He became that way as the result of a radioactive experiment with a gamma bomb. Most of us, I think, have some failure we can point to in our past. This, we say. This is why I'm monstrous. The Hulk does not Hulk out randomly, only when he's stressed or scared. And when Bruce Banner disappears into the other guy, he doesn't really care that he is actually Bruce Banner. He's just some wild force of nature that can't control his hands. When you flash back to the worst of yourself, it's like living through death. Suddenly, your kitchen, the bed, a street corner all become bullets again. Forever now, you are at war with a battle you have already lost. A person should not be able to endure that kind of fear and keep on living. The Hulk can't kill himself. He has tried. It is so hard to live half monster, to hurt everything you love by trying to protect it wrong. And I keep trying to protect you from me. From the nights I don't remember and all my selfishness, my sickness, the days the shame catches up and I don't get out of bed at all. I don't deal with things well. I'm not good at being an adult. When I get scared, I can't control my hands, and I would do anything, anything to make myself feel better. And when I calm down, when I can breathe again, I am the superhero at the end of the movie when the credits have rolled and the war is over and I have to walk through the wreckage of a city I destroyed, trying to be a savior. I know I can't save you from me. I can't even save myself. The thing about the Hulk is he would give anything to just be Bruce the scientist, to be normal, to never again wake up naked and lonely, staring at the destruction with no one to blame but himself. I'm gonna read another sad poem, and it's gonna be hard, but we'll get through it together, okay? This is called The Brief 2 Seconds After You Ruin Everything. After your grandmother's wedding ring slides off your finger and down the kitchen drain. After your sister tells you what happened the night you didn't pick up the phone. After that party your freshman year of college when you drank every vodka and threw yourself at the boy who did not want you. After the picture frames, the wine glass, and your vows lay broken on the floor. After you drop out of college. After your mother tells you not to come home anymore. After you realize your father and the man you love have the same color eyes. After it has been 2 years and you're still not sure you love him. After it has been 4 years and you're still not sure you love him. After he asks you to marry him and you're still not sure you love him. After you pull your underwear from the dark curves of a stranger's sheets and leave without saying goodbye. After you, sobbing, confess what you have done, and he does not forgive you. There is shame, and there is fear, and there is this dizzying freedom.
So next up is a member of our Verbal Escape Poetry Project. He's actually been a part of the project since the very beginning, and he's just such a hard worker. I'm incredibly proud of him. He actually took home the title that day. He was our winner of our poetry slam that we had that day. So here's one of the many poems that he shared with us at the event.
Excuse my profanity. The accidental friend slip is what the poem is titled. I see you as a friend. It was a simple slip of the tongue. Why did you say that word, friend? It was the farthest thing from your mind, like the concept of calculus to a third grader, or the thought of rehab to a career junkie. I guess it was a simple rookie mistake. But what was I supposed to say? I see you as my future wife, or the future love of my life, or my second chance at something finally right? That sounds nice, but in reality, that's weird. Nah, Stefan, she didn't want to hear that. But friend? Fucking friend? Do you even believe in friendship, Stefan? Oh, I know what you could have told her. You could have told her every friend that you've ever had has let you down, or the reason you stopped gangbanging is because your so-called friends forgot about you in jail, or you never had a friend that was a girl that wasn't your girlfriend, and every relationship you've participated in has been unhealthy. Nah, you shouldn't have told her that either. So what should I have said? I don't know. Maybe something special or more than a friend. Now that's an idea. I see you as more than a friend, more than a friend. Has that kind of ring to it, like the first time I seen her face, like the first time she made me laugh, like the first time I told her her eyes were beautiful, like the first time I manned up and said, I see something special in you. The same thing I see in myself, the strength to persevere. Yes, more than a friend sounds nice. Well, shit. You figured it out, Stefan. So what's next? You should go tell her for real. Yeah, that'll be the day.
So Dakota, thank you so much for being here tonight and presenting this wonderful poetry from the youth at McLaren. And do you have any final words?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, thank you so much, Karen, for having me and for getting our project out there on the airwaves and letting people know what we've been up to. I would really like to take a couple moments and say thank you to some people. Mostly, I'd really like to thank Deb Arthur, who's a professor at Portland State. Without her, this opportunity would have never come about. I'd also really like to thank Carlos Chavez, who really helped get everybody involved. Sean Bowers, also known as Johnny No Bueno, helped us with the curriculum. And of course, Portland Poetry Slam and everybody else who came out to support the guys that day. And lastly, I'd really like to thank Kathleen Fullerton and Janice Youth Programs, who both helped with all of the paperwork and all of the official processes that needed to take place in order to really get this thing to the level that it needed to be in order to be successful. Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you, Janice Youth.
And you have been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. Thank you again, Dakota Kennedy. Thank you to our engineer, Danielle Parks. Good night.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Voices on the Ground, Resistance and Resilience, Friday and Saturday, June 6th and 7th at Portland State University. The keynote speaker will be Sherry Hunkala, a national activist in anti-poverty movements and co-founder of the Kensington Welfare Rights Union and the Poor People's Economic Human Rights. This two-day conference will focus on areas of human rights, criminalization, and pathologizing of identities and experiences, revolutionary tools, and more. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Voices on the Ground, Resistance and Resilience, with a keynote speaker on June 6th and all-day conference June 7th.